You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Making Waves.
Hey everyone, welcome back. It's Al McManus from Ask For Entertainment, welcoming you back to the podcast Making Waves. We hope everybody had a great holiday and is gearing up for the next holiday and gearing up most importantly for the most important holiday of the year, that being Shiprock 2022. Don't forget to go out and get your cabin. It'd be a nice stocking stuffer for your family and friends. And we can't wait to see y'all. We are putting the final preparations on what's amounting to be our best cruise yet, and one that's well deserved for sure. So everybody, head on over to shiprock.com and get your cabin booked today before the ship does sail away. Enjoy the episode, and I look forward to seeing you all on the ship.
Welcome back, everyone, to Making Waves, the Shiprock podcast. This is episode 67, and thank you for joining us tonight. As you know, guys, we are part of the Sound Talent Media family and one of the fastest growing rock podcasts in the world. Thank you for joining us again. We've been on a little bit of a holiday hiatus, so thank you for coming back and checking us out. Always myself, I'm Justin, with my co-host here, Chad. Say hey, Chad.
Oh, hello.
And our guest tonight is this is going to be your third time on Shiprock. Please, everyone, please welcome Madam Mayhem. Madam, hello. Thank you for coming in and being a part of our podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. Hey, listen, before I start with you, I want to make sure anyone that's watched this, guys, make sure and check us out. Please rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast and tell all your friends, because we want to get this community to keep growing. It's been great. Well, congratulations. Your new single, I Am More. Let's go ahead and just get to it. I Am More is now a Billboard. It's a legitimate hit. And it's taken off everywhere. And, you know, much success and congratulations on that. Tell us about the song. I mean, we watched the video. We know it's really about empowering people, male, female. And that seems to be a real thing right now, is people getting back to kind of like how long is it? 3 weeks now? Taking stock in ourselves, taking stock in oneself. Yeah. So how did the song come to be? How did it get together? And tell us about the writing process in the song, because it's a big song for you right now.
Yeah. I'm really happy with how everyone is responding to it. It's a really exciting time. So thanks to everyone who's been requesting it and listening to it and rocking out to it. I wrote this song with Keith Wallen from Breaking Benjamin, who is also an amazing solo artist by himself. And we wrote a bunch of songs together over the past couple of years, if I was ever passing through, whether it was on tour or whatever it was. And this song, a lot of people say a lot of my music is it's very much about self-empowerment, but everyone's like, what are you so mad at? And it's like, but this one actually comes at from a place of the opposite of that. I was happy when we wrote it. I was empowered when I wrote it, because I had actually just gotten off the plane. I had just finished performing with Seven Dust at the Machine Shop. And then I flew to Tennessee and I met up with Keith, and I was on this high. I had not slept. And I was just like, I want to write about, how we are all stronger than we know. And, cause being in this industry, as much as I love it and I would never change it, this is all I ever wanted to do. Sometimes it's hard. People want you to be a certain way, or make sure you write about this or sing about this, or, you're a chick, so you got to look like this. And there's all these different things, or they see a picture of you and they assume you sound like this, or you sound like everyone else. And so I really just wanted to write this thing like, no, like I'm doing this, I am more than just whatever you see. And I just want everyone out there to feel that same way, because we really are all stronger than we know. And it's really important, because sometimes we forget that, you know, when you're going through stuff, no matter what it is. And so I wanted it to be a reminder for everyone.
I think it's really refreshing in the sense that it does apply to everyone. It doesn't matter who you are, what your sex is, whatever your thought system is, because it's easy. Like you said, the industry does kind of play, you're a woman, you're a man, this is how the business runs. I'm like, absolutely not. I said, it's like empowerment's about everyone, right? So, and that's what we're trying to do, is that when we talk to female musicians, we're talking to a musician. I don't give a shit what sex you are.
100%.
We're talking to a musician, because the process is the same regardless of what your sex is.
Yep.
Right. The pressures within the industry from people who aren't on the, I don't think the creative side so much, that's usually the administrative side. They kind of try to market you in a certain sense, because we have to grab this niche. Right. But we like Chad, especially we like to talk to musicians about musicianship. And again, doesn't matter male, female. So again, kudos to you on this song and applying it to everyone. Because there are a lot of men out there that are looking for that message in their life. They're not finding it. And maybe they'll find it.
It's really important, I think. And it doesn't matter who you are, you know, or what your sex is, or, you know, it really doesn't matter. And I've always said that too. Like, I'm a musician, I'm a singer. You know, I've never heard an interview question be like to a dude, like, how is it being in this industry and being a dude? You know what I mean? It's like, you know, so
yes, that's the water is wet question.
Right.
I think, if I can kind of make a mention, I think it's important what everything that you guys just mentioned in your description of your piece of art is probably the most important thing that we could take away from creating in today's day and age, is that we are more than this one example of what you're seeing. And I think it's important that females in this period of time are explaining it, mansplaining it, if you will, to us dudes, so that we have it's important for us to, you know, people will say like, I understand. It's like, no, you don't. You're not a female. You know, like you have to listen. And the more people who are putting out the message that you're speaking of, the more people will actually start to listen and start to not ask questions like, what's it like to be a woman? And, you know, like, it's such a fucking right. asinine question. It's like, what's it like to be on the road? You know, right. like we all, you know, the only reason why you're asking that question is because jerk offs have made it difficult for females for years and years and years to do so. So I'm happy to see the fifth wall being broken down by artists like yourself and
awesome.
Making us ask those questions. So thank you.
I need to nerd out for a second. You've worked several times now in your life with one of the best bassists in the world, Billy Sheehan.
He's on this track, by the way.
Yes.
I don't know why I didn't say that first.
Hey, listen, we're going to get to it. We have an hour with you. How did that relationship come to be? Because the guy, I mean, he's iconic.
He's also like maybe one of the greatest humans of all time. He's my mentor, and he and his wife are like big brother and sister to me. I love
them.
So
it's a personal thing. It's not just
Well, we met in a professional setting, and then I started working with him, and we got along so well. And basically, I was out in LA, and he was out in LA at the time, and with, you know, living out there now, he has since relocated. But, I basically had finished my first full length album, and, I was kind of in this weird place where I wasn't really sure. Like, I knew I wanted to do this, and I was like dealing with some iffy people in between, and I just was really uncomfortable. And I was like, I have so many things I want to say, and I need the right outlet to say it, you know? And he was like, you know, I met him at this event, and he heard me sing, and we played together. It was like one of these jam events, and he luckily, thankfully, liked what he heard when I sang. And so, he was like, let's write together. Let me produce, you know, your next album. And I was like, oh, okay. Are you kidding? Yes, please. So we worked together. I was writing, he had a studio in his basement. I was basically like practically living there, you know, going there every day. And from that professional relationship and from how honest we got, you know, in the songwriting process, you know, we just became family from there on out. So I'm very thankful to him.
Well, you answered my question, because I was going to say, what's it like working with someone in that sense? I mean, as you as an artist, and if, I wouldn't say you're a new artist, but still very, you know, you're still evolving.
Yes.
Working with someone like this, who's like, this guy's like, you know, he's in the cement as far as like who he is as a player, but it seems like he kind of came to you.
It's really great because he, I mean, he has a signature, as you know, signature sound. Mm-hmm. Like he is Billy Sheehan. Even like my bass player, Percy, in my band, who I love dearly and is amazing, like because Billy sometimes will do these guest spots and play on some of my tracks, you know, he's like, I'm not doing this. I was like, you do your own thing live, you know, like Billy is Billy. But what's really great is he was so great because he made it about what I wanted to say. And, you know, obviously lended his talents to it and his advice. But he, you know, he was like, this is your music. This is what you want to do. And we'll create it together. And that was so nurturing to me. And it was something I wasn't really used to, I'll be honest. Growing up in the musical theater world, which is where I started, you know, you take direction and you do what you're told. And so to be able to have this extra outlet of like, oh, I can do this. Like I get to dictate what I sing and what I write about. It was a huge awakening for me. And for these past years later, that's all I've been doing from then on.
Yeah.
You started your musical training at the Manhattan School of Music, correct? That's where you started kind of like getting into the nitty gritty of it?
Yeah. I started actually Broadway and off Broadway as like a kid actor. And then like in terms of training, like really training, I was at Manhattan School of Music. Yeah.
And then after that it was Frost, right?
Frost School of Music at the U.
Yeah. How do you take any of those? Have you walked away from those situations with any of the knowledge that you've learned or, you know, applied at that period of time and using it currently right now?
Yes. If you asked me then, I would have been like, no, I'm not going to use this. This is a waste of time. Because at the time I was studying, you know, I knew I wanted to sing. I knew I wanted to perform. I knew I wanted to create music. And so being a New York kid, the first thing your parents do is throw you in like musical theater because you're in New York, you know, Broadway and everything. And so, but I was always listening to rock and metal. And I was like, I want to do this. I don't want to do that. But I'll be honest, now I really do apply, you know, whether it's the music theory skills, whether it's the vocal training. I mean, I'll still, you know, meet with a vocal coach, you know, once a month when I'm not on the road in person or, you know, whatever it is, because it is an instrument and it is a muscle and you have to treat it with respect. Like, you know, if you go to the gym, you gotta take care of your voice. And so I definitely got a lot of training in that way. And I think the reason I can keep my voice on all the time as well as I can is because of that training. And I think collaborating, being able to collaborate, which is my favorite thing to do. Like I love co-writing. I love working with other people. I love jamming with other people, which is why I love Stowaway so much. I think I learned all of that from being at school and it really did help.
That's awesome.
Can I ask you, there always seems to be this metal seems to be a place where people who are classically trained go.
Yeah.
Like when they go into like popular music, they very rarely, I mean, there's some kind of entry into pop. They may go into obviously into jazz because it lends itself to kind of like that, the theory and the study of music in that sense. But metal seems to be a landing spot for a lot of people who have classical training. Do you happen to have a theory in that yourself and why that happens?
Well, if you research, I don't know the exact theory, but if you research, like, or if you really dive into a lot of metal music, it has a lot of classical, like it's all classical elements, the theory behind it and everything. And I think it's like a similar mind in analyzing it and creating it. So I think that has to be why, because there's such skill needed. It's not, you know, I never want to rag on any other genre or anything, because I think now genres aren't really, they're not like this anymore, you know,
they're being broken, like
artists,
they're being,
which I love
blending into one another. Right.
Yes. But I would say that metal and rock and things where you're using, you know, your real musicians, it requires some skill there. And so with classical, that also same thing, you know, you're using your instrument, you know how to use it and you're messing mm-hmm. with it and you're playing. So I really think that maybe that's the correlation, but I don't know.
You always hear about Wagner and his like tritone sound being the emphasis on why heavy metal kind of like it kind of generated from that, the deep basses and things like that. But I was just curious more on like the musical theater side where like the vocal, you know, you have people like Angela Gassow who used to sing for Arch Enemy, doing that kind of thing. And then now you, obviously, it's this kind of thing. It's like, wow, they always tend to kind of go into metal. And I understand because there's lots of theatrics in metal. There's lots of nuances. There's highs, there's lows, there's clean, there's guttural. So it makes a lot of sense, but I was just curious, just coming from someone who actually...
Yeah, I don't know. For me, I always knew I was going to do rocker metal anyway. And then I just kind of... But I wanted to perfect my voice. And so then I went that route. So I just always knew it was going to flip. Yeah. But yeah, I'm not sure.
Why did you not follow the... Since you started out as a child actor, why did you not follow that kind of path? Was it just something you kind of did to appease your parents?
No, because I'll be honest, they didn't want me to do this. They're very supportive. I'm very appreciative. My family's super supportive. But this was not something they wanted for me, for sure. But, you know,
they didn't want their daughter to be a metal singer.
No, I don't know why.
Weird, right? Shocked.
So weird.
Absolutely shocked.
So weird. But no, I mean, I don't really know. It's just, I mean, I definitely still have love and respect for the theater and musical theater. And I think if there was ever an opportunity to go back to some capacity for a short time, I would definitely do it. But I just always wanted to be able to create my own music and really reach other people that were struggling or felt like outcasts, like I have. And sometimes I really still do. And I just wanted to do that. I wanted to, you know, not really play a character, even though I know I go by Madame Mayhem, but you know, it's still me, you know. I don't like put on an, you know, there's a different stage act, but when I'm talking to a fan or whatever, it's still me. And it's really important that people feel like they can connect, and that's what I need. And so when there's that like wall there in the performance aspect of like musical theater, you know, you can't really go and reach the people, like, you know, and really feel what they're going through as much.
Well, if they ever do a new interpretation of Jesus Christ Superstar, you could be there.
I'll do it.
Lending your voice to the more metallic Jesus.
we were talking about collaboration, and I'm sorry, Carl, got a little out of control here. I'm having a neighbor moving in right now, so it's barking, so I apologize. But speaking of collaboration, you've had a long list of folks that you've spent time either co-writing or producing music with, alongside of, you know, from Ray from Korn, Bumblefoot, you got Russ Satchel from Steel Panther, you know, like, I mean, Mark Hudson, like who some of these people are, you know, quite prolific. What has been your, I probably shouldn't ask you to say this, but maybe you could find a way to say it that isn't so, you know, singling out here, but Prime, what is your favorite? Yeah. What's been your favorite experience when it comes to creating, co-writing? Not just playing, but co-writing music with another person outside of what would be the nucleus of your band.
Right. Well, I think the coolest thing is with a bunch of the guys that I've, and they have been primarily guys now that I think about it. We got to get some chicks in there, but it's the coolest part is when you feel the most comfortable and you can really just say the dumbest thing ever in the yes. studio, or like have like the silliest musical idea and not be afraid to share that, because the other person might give you a look, but they're not going to judge you, and they're just going to keep creating with you, because, you know, you can write all you want by yourself, but you know, when you're in that rut, or like someone else could have an idea that just really makes that song and elevates it like that much more. And it's just really cool. It, in terms of, I definitely won't single people out, but I will say that experience with Billy Sheehan. And then from there, I started working with Corey Lowry. And from there it was, you know, Keith and Brian Bowden and all the, like when I started working with Billy and moved my way, I really felt very comfortable, you know, doing things in the studio that might have seemed weird or might have, you know, and it really lent itself to the music. And I think the music came out amazing because of it.
Yeah. I can agree wholeheartedly.
Did I answer that right?
Yeah, I mean, yes, any answer would have been right, but I can agree wholeheartedly with there's a certain something that makes everything else feel insignificant when you're in a room with people that you feel comfortable with, that you can be yourself and explore without feeling that you're
one thing I wanted to add in here is you mentioned you need to bring some chicks into your writing components here, but quite honestly, all the people you just mentioned, they were going, you know what, I need to write with a woman, and you seem to be a go-to for a lot of these guys. So good on you.
Thank you. Yes, I try very hard.
Those are all top-notch guys. They're great players. And, you know, and it's like, you know, Keith, Brake, and Ben, those guys fall out of the car and they write a hit song. It's just, that's how
it's ridiculous. You know, they're amazing.
They got it down. They got the zeitgeist into people's, you know, minds for writing great songs. So what's going on with you on the road? What's happening? What are you doing? Obviously you're going to be with us in January. What do you got? You got anything going for December? Did you just get done playing a lot of shows? I know all you just mentioned some stuff with Seven Dust. And one person that you did tour with, I want to ask you about here shortly. I'm not going to say it yet.
Okay. Well, no, that Seven Dust thing was before the pandemic. I mean.
Oh, was it that long ago?
Oh, my God. Yeah. So
was the road work in 2021?
We have not hit the road in 2021. I have been stuck in my home.
Are you bouncing off the walls?
I am, but luckily they're padded now. So it's fine.
Yes, obviously.
Yes, but, you know, we've just been working and writing a lot. And, you know, hopefully we'll be back on the road in 2022 is the goal. I mean, right before the pandemic hit, we had just gotten off the road. And we were working on a bunch of songs that would hopefully turn into a full length album. Cause that's my favorite thing to do in the world. As much as I've been releasing all these singles lately, it's because this happened and, you know, I didn't want to wait another 2 years before I could release something. And we did have a bunch of songs that were finished, including I Am More. And I was like, this song is so important to me. I just really want to get it out there for the world to hear. And we'll worry about the album later. And so that's what we've been doing. So, you know, goal plans now are to, you know, finish that, that body of work, you know, new album, complete that and, get our butts out on the road as soon as possible, because we're all losing it. As much as I love the studio and writing, performing live is my favorite thing to do in the whole world. The stage has always been my home since I was like 2. So,
Do you think when you get back on it, you're going to get a little bit of sea legs, or you're going to practice beforehand, a few weeks of practice beforehand?
Oh, no. Yeah, I think I'll be good. I think I'll be
okay. All right. Hey, so one person, I'm sorry, Chad.
No, I was going to say, it's funny that because we all think that, you know, I'd be fearful. I mean, Wilson's done, but like if somebody was like, you got to go on tour right now, I'd be like, even with all of the practice, with all of that time, your footing, it's still going to take a moment. I'm trying to scare anybody, but like the idea of it, you're like, I got this. We've been practicing all week. And then all of a sudden the stage is just a little slipperier. You get what I'm saying? Slipperier. Than your practice space, right? And your whole stancing is down. Now you're concentrating on your inner thigh muscles.
What just happened?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, I definitely like have to, you know, get that stamina back from running around. Cause when I tend to perform, I'm like running around the stage like a lunatic.
Sure.
I do a lot of high knees, like a lot of high knees. If you ask me to do a bunch of high knees right now, not sure how many
do them.
I don't know how successful. We have to save that for the very end, though, because if I fail, like, and I'm out of breath, then we're done. So we got to wait till the end of the
day. I got a question for both of you, and this is about performing in artist's attire. Remember back in the heyday, like Leopard and even Maiden, like during that 82 to 85 stretch, they always wore like white dance shoes, right? Remember those? They were like white. Yeah.
Sure.
Why don't bands wear those anymore? They seem like the most practical thing.
Should we
get them and bring them?
Yeah, I think so.
I think to understand, like
ballet slippers or like jazz?
No. Look up like Def Leppard 83 and then get back to me, Chad. I want to talk about you. So you did some road work with Doro.
Yes.
Who's like I'm a massive fan. And it's so funny talking to you and then knowing that you'd wrote with her, because I was like, you're kind of like this younger American equivalent of kind.
Oh, that's amazing. Thank you. That's like such a compliment.
Warlock is fucking insane. They're so good. And so, but when she went on her own, it's just kind of made sense. It's like, because there's this generational thing, you know, of like female rockers. She's still like, there was that girl school and then Doro, and then it's kind of moved down from there. Like, you know, the people are like filling these roles, but she's still killing it. You know, she can go to Vakken and headline and all this other great stuff.
Yeah.
How was that? I got to hear any cool stories from a tour just for me, just to be, I'm nerding out right now.
Of course. I will tell you, it was an amazing experience. She is such a genuine person and very authentic. And I think what I really took away from that tour, and I always say it, is, you know, besides the fact that it was really cool, I got to watch it every night, was that she was so great with her fans and she meant it. And that, because that's how I feel too. And I think just watch, I watched her a lot, you know, I really wanted to see, you know, how she did things. And even when she was off stage, you know, a fan would run up and like, you know, maybe security would be like, no, it's not time. She was like, nope, let me talk to them. You know, like the bus, we wouldn't leave for a really long time because she just wanted to take the time with her fans. And it was amazing to see, because, you know, once you get to a certain level, I feel like maybe some artists don't do that anymore. I don't know if that's true. Some do, some don't, but she really loves her fans and genuinely cares for them. And so It makes that show experience and the performance all that much better, because you know all the things she's saying, and like to reach out and rock out, like she means it.
She's like, she's like two people, and she's like Lemmy is the fact that she's a lifer. That's all she knows, that she's going to do it until they put a pine box in her. Right. And the second one is like the fan thing sounds like she spent a lot of time with Ronnie James Dio, who was always known for being very fan friendly and
will
look you in the eye and talk to you like you're his best friend.
Right.
And that's rewarding your fan for being there and supporting him. But I think they're just genuinely that way. They came from that school of thought. You know, there were a lot of handlers getting in their way. They made decisions, not someone going,
right,
nope, back up, folks. He's got to get his steam bath.
Right. Right.
Like, I'm going to talk. Yeah. I'm going to talk to everybody for an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, to me, you know, fans are just fellow rock and metal lovers. And so I am also one of those people, and therefore they are my people. You are all. Yeah. So when someone comes up to me and wants to, you know, talk to me about rock or this, I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm in. Like, I'm the same exact way.
Well, no, thank you for like, that makes me feel good. I didn't want to hear,
she's awesome.
Say anything negative. Okay, good.
No, so, she's wonderful. Right. She's awesome.
All right. I love her. Stays intact then. She's still
Say enough amazing things about her and her band. They're fantastic. Right.
Chad, your research yield you anything?
Yeah. If you go to the chat, I just shared a link of an image. I think you're referring to the 1987 look, whatever these white.
Yes.
What are those? No, I don't never seen
it. They're like white. They're like white. Like dancers wear those on stage. They're like very light, but they're very strong and tactile.
You talking about jazz shoes?
Yes.
Yeah.
They allow you to move very freely.
The thing is with the jazz shoes though, so as someone who has way too many jazz shoes that she should probably throw out. So like they're really soft and they have like a really, they do have kind of a hard bottom, but like not enough. Like if you're going through like a venue, like your feet are going to get destroyed. So like those really need to get put on like right before you get on stage.
Exactly.
Someone's going to step on your foot in a rock show. You're just going to break your foot.
Well, no, like, yeah, but I figured if you're on stage, you know, hopefully no one's unless something you and the
stepping on
clash.
You.
Yeah. No,
but yeah, I think the best thing to do to not worry about like falling on stage or anything, because, you know, you want to give a performance and not worry about that. And Billy actually gave me this advice, which is funny because some of the shoes you see he used to wear are like massive, but, you know, wear shoes that you're comfortable in. Like, yes. don't wear shoes where you're afraid you're going to fall. Cause I used to wear like heels and platforms and listen, I could do it and I still can, and I can run around, but why think about that? You know, now I just wear my combat boots and I run around and I'm not worried about it.
Listen, next time you talk to Billy, I need to know the street date for his Roth years book that I know he hasn't written yet, but he needs to write one.
Okay. I'll ask him.
Definitely thought you were going to ask her to ask him about those shoes. Because that took a solid minute for me to go through Google image and be like, white shoes, come a on, tiger. Man. And then I found him. I'm like, those just look like white bands or something. And then now I understand. But she nailed it. Yeah. If you wear those and you're not comfortable in those, shame on you. Because every step that you make on that stage is going to be like, this sucks. Everything sucks.
Hey, guys, let me do a commercial break here real quick before we go to our live. We're going to be live here in about 2 minutes. So let me go ahead and just do this real quick, if you don't mind. All right, guys. Hey, listen, folks, at this time, we'd like to remind you that not only are you listening to a kick-ass podcast right now, well, we also produce an amazing rock music themed cruise vacation. God, I cannot speak. It's been 3 weeks, called Shiprocked. And we'll be selling this January 2022. We'll be selling to Costa Maya and Cozumel on our 12th voyage. So sail along with us into metal oblivion with Lamb of God, I Prevail, From Ashes to New, Steel Panther, many other bands. And obviously the Stowaways were our guest tonight is one of them, Madam Mayhem. So you guys can go to www.shiprock.com and still pick up a cabin now, but there's limited availability. So thank you. With that, we'll get right back to it. Thanks, guys.
So third time on the ship doing the Stowaways. Yes. Pretty awesome. And so I heard excited. Through the grapevine that at one of these days, of the several days that we'll be on the ship, it's going to be somebody's birthday. That's somebody yep. you.
Oh, yeah. I'll be running so awesome. Around telling everyone. So.
What day is it?
The 24th. January 24th. Everyone write that down. Put it in your phone so that when we're on the boat, even though not like we...
I only ask because mine is 2 days prior to that, the 22nd, the day we sail out. So, you know, Aquarius... So
can we do like a group birthday, like on the 23rd?
That would be the greatest thing of all time, by the way.
So maybe we do that.
And I will wear tux.
I got my absolutely terrible...
I'm down.
It's probably a backwards.
I love it. No, it looks beautiful.
Thanks.
No, yes, so let's... Wait, so no, we have to do a joint, like there needs to be like an actual... birthday celebration for, we need to do a joint birthday party.
All Aquarians, yes, by all means, please.
100%.
Hey guys, we're now live on Facebook. Welcome everyone from Facebook. Say hello to Madame Mayhem, our guest tonight.
Hi.
And we are talking about her new single, I Am More, right?
Yep.
She's good. So it's three words, for crying out loud, I can get this right.
Yeah, you're more too.
Yeah, we're talking about getting back to the stage and playing again. We're talking about the cruise. And matter of fact, we were in the middle of a discussion about Stowaways and someone's birthday, hers.
Both, during there's the two birthdays during the cruise.
There's multiple birthdays. We're going to make sure that. And speaking of birthdays, today is the captain's birthday. So
yes, happy birthday.
Alan Koenig, you are 40. Alan is 40 today again.
The hoggiest of hogs out there. 4-0.
4-0. So again, welcome everyone. Thank you. We've been away for a few weeks due to the holidays and other things going on. So we hope everyone had a good holiday vacation, spent time with your family, ate too much. And now we're going into December, which means we're getting closer and closer to Shiprock 2022. So we're totally stoked. So let's continue our conversation where these two were having a conversation about the Stowaways.
Yeah. So so this is going to be your third time on the Stowaways. And we were talking earlier about how collaborating is your favorite thing to do, yes. Thus the Stowaways. First of all, can you tell us about the first time that you came on the ship and how that felt and the whole, just, you know, a quick couple of sentences about your feelings upon entering a cruise ship, which you're going to play with strangers for
right.
the first time ever.
Strangers from very notable bands,
yes.
yeah. some of no which I, you know, very much looked up to and yeah. Was like, no one, I don't know, not many people, especially then, knew who I was, yeah. except for a select few. And so it's like, who is this girl coming to sing? But I got to tell you, I was so nervous, but the second, you know, I met everyone, the second you get on that, on the boat, like everyone is just so awesome. Like, you can't feel weird, you know, you just feel comfortable instantly, which was really cool. It didn't hurt that my brother was there with me as my plus one at the time. He'll be back. But you know, he just makes friends everywhere. And he like, didn't even know who some of the people were. And like, he ends up coming back with like friends who are like, you know, we met you and every, and, you know, and just, but being going to like the first, like to rehearsal for the Stowaways, I, you know, I practiced, I'm very big on, you know, practice preparation, you know, I always like to think I'm on top of my stuff. But I was nervous because, you know, you don't rehearse before that with the bands, you just kind of go and you do it. And, you know, you hope you don't mess up and you hope you learn the right version. and not everyone else went off. But luckily everyone is just so cool. Everyone's there to have a good time and just to rock out together. And so it's an amazing feeling, an amazing experience. And I'm very happy I get to keep doing it.
That is a laid back rehearsal. So yeah, no.
I was sitting there and I was like quiet and, you know, I was afraid to talk. The first time I was like afraid to talk to anyone because, you know, from the background I have, it's like, you get there, you shut up, you know, you do your job, you get there early. Cause if you're on time, you're late. I still, even as a rock musician and being on tour all these years, I still kind of can't get over some of those things that I learned as a kid. And so I'm always the first one, like you'll see me there before the doors are open for rehearsal. You'll see me standing outside.
You're that kid who killed the bell curve in the class where you got like a 96, everyone got a 68 and you just screwed the pooch. Everyone else.
False. See, but that, see, I wasn't, Jesus. Though. I was just on time. I was on time. Doesn't mean I was good at it, you know?
That's a terrible trait in this business.
But yeah, so yeah,
you start doing that too many times and people are going to expect too much from you.
I mean, We got, you know, like, I was just like really quiet, wanted to just do the best. And so it took me a couple days the first for shit. Like my brother, again, like my brother's running around making friends. And I was just like, I just wanted to like, okay, I need to nail the song. I need to make sure I do this right. I don't want to piss anyone off. Like I'm also a very, which I sing about a lot. I have a lot of anxiety. And so I never want to bother anyone. I never want to, you know? And so a lot of the stuff I talk about is, you know, breaking out of that and being who you are. But of course, when I'm in a professional, as fun as it is for me, the first time was very professional. And so I was like, I don't want to mess up. I want to make a good impression. And then by the second time, I was like, this whole point is to have fun. And I think it was actually better for me and for everyone around me the second time I got in the boat, you know, and I felt, you know, like, but the second you get on there, you're just so comfortable. It's hard to
think about. Everyone expects the blemishes because A, you're usually performing material that is pretty much part of people's, like, you know, their oral history, you know, whatever. They probably have that record 20 times over, like, hey, we have to do a Van Halen song. Holy shit, everyone knows that song. And you're like, they don't expect me to replicate it, which is so great. And just if you know, hey, I forgot that line, everyone want to sing it with me, that's such a great moment for everyone. It sounds like crazy, like, because you're trying to be pro, but you're also realizing, like, hey, we're winging it, man. We're just having a good time. We're in the middle of the fucking ocean, for crying out loud. You
know? And it is the most fun, I must say. Mm-hmm. It is the most fun.
If you could go back and tell yourself anything, you know, after you've done it a few times going in, if this year was your first time, mm-hmm. but you had in another life done this two other times, what would you say? What would you tell? What advice would you give yourself?
Just go in there and have fun and, you know, say hi to as many people as possible. Don't worry about it. You know, just hang out and enjoy it and don't stress out so much. Like, you know, because once I got up on that stage, I was fine and everything was fine. And because again, that's where I'm the most comfortable. It's everything leading up to the stage where I'm not okay. So I would just say have fun. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. And that's what I've been doing ever since. And so if anyone sees me on there, just please come say hi. Or if I just come randomly say hi to you and you don't know who I am, just expect it. Because that's what I'm going to do.
I pictured you just say, hello, hi. Oh,
I'm so going to do that. Are you kidding? Of course I am.
Hi.
Guys out there, everyone watching on Facebook, if you have a question for Madam, please throw it our way and we'll definitely get to that with her because we still have time and we want to go over some things with her. But if you have a question, no, that's just hello. Yeah, hi. Everyone's saying hello. I guess it's been a while.
Hi,
everyone. But if you have a question, throw it in the thread and we'll definitely get to that for Madam.
I got a question for you. What was the first touring experience you had?
Well, the first like bus tour was the Doro tour. Okay. I had played many venues, you know, like I played Sunset Strip, I played New York, I played internationally, but those were all like more one-offs. But the first real tour was the tour I did with Doro. And then I went out shortly after that with Mushroom Head.
How was that? I read that and I thought maybe that might be the first one. And I wanted to ask, how did it feel to be on that stage? You know, knowing that there's like 8 or 9 people going to be coming on and scaring the living shit out of people after.
their water drums were on stage while we were like for our setups too. So we were playing behind them. So that was interesting.
Yeah.
So, honestly, they were really cool. But, and we made a lot of friends, like Product of Hate, that band was on there too. And like, I love them. And Sumo Psycho was on it. It was really cool. But I will say, like, it was, you know, it was a different experience because I had just come off of a Doro tour. It's, you know, that's the beauty of rock and metal is that now it's more than ever, like, there's not specific genres, which I love because I hate being put in a box because everyone's like, oh, what type of rock are you? I'm like, I don't know, listen to it and figure it out, whatever you like, you know? And so it was kind of cool because it wasn't maybe fans that normally would discover our music, but, you know, we made sure to give enough energy where it was okay. But my dad did go to one of the shows with Mushroom Head.
Okay.
And he's very old school. He's seen me perform like all the proper, you know, shows and stuff. But I think it was maybe one of the first times he had seen me like on tour. And there was like this group of people and he like dressed like button down shirt. Like he didn't know what the hell he was doing. And these people came up to him and was like, what are you doing here, sir? He's like, I don't know. My daughter's on the stage. I don't know why I'm here. Yeah. Like, it was my poor dad. But it was cool. I mean, every tour I've done has been a really cool experience. And it's been kind of cool that I've gotten to tour with such different types of bands, but that they're all in the rock and metal genre, obviously. But yeah.
Are you saying your father didn't go home and get a septum piercing?
He didn't do it. He didn't.
He just drove home that night, threw on the seals and cross, and says, "Now I feel it."
He was just like, "Do you need help?" I was like, "No, I'm fine."
Hey, let me ask you. So, what on your days off on the road? What is one of your favorite things to do on your days off besides sleep?
In a hotel room.
What is one of your favorite activities?
Well, sometimes we don't really go to the hotel rooms. What we'll do is we've been on bus a few times, but we're usually like on a bandwagon. And so what we become Planet Fitness members, which is maybe the smartest thing and I'm telling all the secrets right now.
$15 a month. Heck yeah.
Anywhere in the country, but you pay for the premium, which is still, affordable, and you can go to any Planet Fitness in the country and you shower there. Because,
there's pretty much in every town. That is actually the smartest thing I think we've ever heard an artist say.
I just gave away. Oh, thank you.
Sorry. That is like, at least if it's not the smartest, it's the best advice. So any of you upcoming bands and you're paying attention to this, join Planet Fitness. Plus you can get it a few pumps, may look really good on the stage.
Massage chairs. We used to do the same thing.
Oh my God, the massage chairs. Yeah. I miss that.
24 hours. You can show up most of the places you can show up. And if you get the black membership, like you're talking about, not only can you go anywhere, but you can bring a guest. So if you say you have four members in your band, you only need two memberships.
That is accurate.
Bam. Did you ever go into the mall and like go to those chairs that like rub your legs and stuff for like a bunch of quarters?
But you just do that
at Planet Fitness.
They have those chairs there too. I thought they were like a mall thing.
They have a lay down water bed.
Yeah, it's like a whole thing. You have to go. I mean, we should be getting.
Why they have a water bed? What year is it?
We should be doing this podcast instead of fucking Planet Fitness.
We are currently not sponsored by Planet Fitness, but Planet Fitness, if you're listening, Madam Mayhem, Shiprock, this podcast, Chad, we will all. Endorse your
Brand.
We'll show up and do our podcast remotely at Planet Fitness. You can get us the hookup.
With the chair, but you have to be on the chair.
You know what? Yeah. They got to get rid of that color scheme they have, though, is just insanity.
Okay. Way to ruin it for us.
But you can recognize it, can't you?
Yeah. Oh, I know it. Yeah, I know when it's coming. It's like,
is it so bad?
I know when the UPS guy's coming too, but shit.
That's funny. Anyway.
Yeah. So going to Planet Fitness and showering is your day off thing.
It's really important.
It's really important.
Eating, food's important too, to find a place to have like a good meal. And then,
the best thing about Planet Fitnesses are, and I'm sorry to interrupt you here, but they're usually very close to a place that sells food.
Some of them like have like bagel days. Like I see signs, like when I go in certain zones that are like bagel Fridays, and I'm like, I'm here on a Tuesday. Yeah. So like I never have gotten to enjoy that part of the gym, which slightly confused me, but
Huge win there. Good call on
they have loyalty cards there.
What's that?
I don't know.
I mean, it's like no, $35 a month.
You just go and again, Planet Fitness, if you're out there, we will be your spokespeople. We will do it.
I don't even know where to go with
it's
that.
True. Yeah. You should go to planetfitness.com and get yourself a membership right now.
Only if you're touring around the country and you need to shower really badly.
So how do you like that? Chad, did you guys do a bandwagon or did you guys do a bus? What was the story there? Do you kind of build up? What's the bandwagon experience? I always see them. I was like, man, I just love to drive around like a camper.
The only time that we didn't do a van, that we toured in without a van when we did a bus was we shared a bus with Nothing More in the UK. Well, in Europe on a Hailstorm tour. Other than that, we always did a van and trailer. In the last iteration of our touring situation, I bought a Ram ProMaster brand new in 2018 and I built out like this, the Sprinter style, tall ceilings, extended cargo van version. I built out bunks, and we built out like essentially what would be a bandwagon, but without like I don't know, bandwagons have bathrooms, do they?
They do. There's like a little toilet room, and then there's like a little a shower.
Yeah.
Room.
So, kind of thing. And that's like brown water, and you, it's like a whole issue if you have to do it. Cause we did an RV once too. Worst idea ever. But yeah, that's how we did it. And we would just do exactly what she's talking about. We had the bunks filled out. So it was bunks and all, mm-hmm. you know, I had like shore power ran in the thing, a solar power on the top. So we could charge our phones and, you know, have yep. fans and shit like that playing at night. And we just go in to the Planet Fitness and cause absolute mayhem. Like, no! Nah! Table or whatever it is, and freak out, you know. That's it.
That's it.
Yep. Yeah, you did a bandwagon though, huh?
We've done bandwagon, we've done van tours, we've done yeah. bus tours, we've done all of it.
Yeah,
done it all.
I didn't really like being on a bus too much, but then again, we did share. I mean, I loved the nothing. We became best friends week one, but the first 5 days of being on a bus with nothing more or any other band, I guess, is really awkward because you have every bunk of those 12 bunks are filled with a body. Most of them, you don't know who they are. And like, you're trying to keep your
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. Bus shares are so interesting. Especially like when you don't know everyone really well, and but it ends up working out. I mean, like for our Europe UK, we did with Fozzie, you know, Chris Jericho's bunkers are across from me, and I'm like, oh my god, I can't like make any. I was like so afraid to make any noise, but he's so cool, so like he didn't care. But like I was just like so nervous,
Did you ever want to get him like in an arm bar hold and like try to make him submit?
No, I know better. Yeah.
Come on, get Jericho to chap out. That'd be great. Hey, Chad, Johnny Hawkins from Nothing More looks like he smells really good.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, all of them
looks real clean. He looks clean. That dude looks
super
really
clean. Yeah, not super Wilson, clean, dude. Not so much. But not so, so much. I'm sure it was pretty much a fucking nightmare for them, but for us.
So, like, Madam, we have a question for you. This one's actually, I you know, damn, I'd love to be asked this question personally, but I'm going to ask you. So, Karen wants to know, if all the animals are going to be wiped off the earth, what two would you save and why?
Oh shit!
Do you like humans count?
No, or they should not.
Like
no,
animals, no, animal dogs, animals, dogs, 100% dogs. Like dogs need to be saved.
Is there a certain breed?
No, just dogs in general. Although you know, I've had Bichons and Dobermans, and so which are two totally different types of breeds. Yeah. But I love them both, and I'm obsessed with both of them. So, yeah.
So dogs. But, all right.
I mean, there are other animals. I love animals. Don't get me wrong, but dogs are my number
one.
You had to make a choice.
You went for it too. Unfortunately, a few humans have to stay around to clean up after them. Ask right. Chad.
Yeah. I'm looking at what I'm pretty sure over there is a protest poop.
There you go.
I wouldn't let them come over here and bark at the door. So, yeah. I have a question, and this is kind of part of, I guess, segueing into the, would you consider us going into Walk the Plank right now, Justin?
Yeah, I love that. Let's do that. It's been a while.
All right. So these questions are, generally speaking, for the most part, not really based upon your career necessarily, but more existential. So the question I have is, what's the last thing that you've cried about?
Oh my God. What is the last thing? I feel like I cried today. What was it?
Realizing you're going to be on Making Waves?
No.
An hour?
Last thing I cried about, I think, all right. And this is going to be like a bomb draft for those of you who don't know, but, my 5-month-old wouldn't go to sleep and I started crying because I have a 5-month-old. Not a lot of people know that, but I decided during the pandemic to pop out a kid while I was waiting for tour.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I don't really talk about it much. Yeah. Well, when else was I going to do it? Like when I was on the road? Like, no, it had to happen. This was the perfect time to do it.
You're like, this is going to last 9 months, right? 9 months? Right.
Has to be 9. No, yeah. But I cry a lot when he can't sleep. I cry. I'm sad.
What's his name?
Is that just frustration? Is it because you're only getting intermittent sleep or because you're just frustrated?
Who knows at this point? My brain is so like messed up right now from lack of sleep. It could be anything.
All right. My question is this. What's the last book you read?
Oh, my God. What is the last book I read? I don't even remember. That's
it can't
really
be a child's book. It can't be a children's book.
Oh, because it would have been like Goodnight Moon yesterday. But
Chad, do you know?
Although I do, I do have the Metallica ABCs book upstairs for him. Okay. Like, I know what I'm doing.
Please explain.
There is a Metallica book that is like ABCs, and there's like little paragraphs next to each letter, like Metallica music related. He's a little too young for that at the moment, but I already got the book for him. So, yeah.
Nice.
That band is branding more than Kiss.
Everything.
Does.
Crazy, right? But you know what? I will buy it if they brand it.
There's one born every day.
Yeah. Oh, it's like Starbucks and me.
Yeah.
I will buy it if they brand it. I have a question that's not from us. It's actually from our last guest. And how this works is I'm going to ask you this question that he had asked me to ask you, but he didn't know it was going to be you or who it was going to be. And then after we're done, you're going to ask a question for the next guest and you won't know who that is. And I'm just going to do the same thing over and over again. Nice. So this one's actually from the gentleman's name is Michael Vampire, and he's in a band called Vampires Everywhere. And his question that he asked me to ask you is, what is your favorite part of being on the road?
Performing live and meeting all of the fellow rock music lovers out there on the road and just performing with them in the room. That's the best part.
Michael, I was going to go with craft services, but I guess I was wrong.
Sometimes, you know, we don't all get that all the time. You know?
Yeah. $5 buyout. So
if you're lucky, man. I mean, sometimes my fans will just throw Reese's on stage because they know I like them and that's my dinner and I will eat it.
That's amazing.
That's right. No. You're going to cut that out.
Mine was booze. And that was
booze.
Well, so they used to throw on my, like, you like booze? I'm like, I don't want to do any more boozing. Sucked. Drinking and pussy. I'm like, I'm dying though. Like, I'm really dying.
That's awesome.
So now you get to ask our guest next week a question of any, it could be music related or existential related that you'd like.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Let me think. Okay. What band is the best band you've ever had the opportunity to tour with and why?
Okay. Got it.
Can we ask the same of you right now?
Yeah. But it's going to be a hard one because I've actually had really good experiences on the road with everyone.
Let me get a caveat. All the bands you've toured with, for the most part, have been fantastic, but this one really just stood out.
Well, I mean, how can you say anything bad about Seven Dust?
Yeah.
Ever. I saw you actually at a show and I opened for Seven Dust.
Yeah,
they're just so unfriendly and they're just so, they're just.
Yeah, I think the coolest. I mean, and we got to tour them multiple times and I'm very thankful. Thanks to them so much for like having my band, open for them multiple times. But the coolest thing was when I got to play a few New Year's Eve shows with them a couple years back. I got to sing Licking Cream with them.
Oh, sick.
And it was maybe the coolest experience ever.
Was that in Atlanta?
It was
so
Atlanta, and I was so nervous and they were like, it's going to be a surprise. You can't tell anyone. We've never done this with another artist. Like that wasn't her up until, I mean, I know they've done it since, but, and I was like, oh, that's pressure. Cool. And they were like, yeah, well, can you hit the notes? I was like, well, duh, I can hit the notes. That's not the question, is it? So like, that's never the question. But I was still so nervous, but Seven Dust fans are like amazing. And so they're always so great and kind and welcoming. And I love them. And I was still nervous because I didn't want to piss anyone off. Cause that song is like awesome.
You know, they're going to be on the boat, right?
Of course.
Okay. Just making sure.
Of course, I do.
A lot of names. Sometimes I forget people who's on the boat. Oh, they're playing shit. What are you doing here?
Yeah. Nice setup, buddy. A nice setup.
Anyway.
Her band chose.
Yes, of course. We've had you almost an hour and it's been awesome. And thank you for entertaining us. And this has been great. And it's a great way to get us back on track here. Cause I felt like I was going to stumble this episode. Like, God, I haven't done this. I'm out of practice, but you made it real easy for us. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for having me. This was very fun.
You guys turn on your radio or Spotify, not Spotify, Sirius right now. Cause you're probably going to hear Am I More, because that song is blowing up the charts right now.
So I am more.
God, see,
you are more too.
You are also more. We are all more.
That's right. It's an empowerment for everybody.
It really is.
I made this song mine. This song is mine. It doesn't belong to you anymore. It belongs to me.
That's how I want it.
I am number 6 on the Billboard charts with a bullet, guys.
Yeah. Yes, you are, buddy.
Anyway, I Am More is out right now. Check it out. Make sure and get it. And go to iTunes and just download the thing for $1.29. That's the best money you've ever spent.
I have to at least say one other thing is you should also check out the cover of Living on the Edge that you did.
The Aerosmith track?
Yeah. I love that song. You did a great job. So
Thank you so much. And actually, Mark Hudson, who co-wrote that song originally, did the arrangement with me for this one. So that was the special, like...
You've
worked with some who's who's.
So I'm very fortunate that people think I'm easy to work with, I guess, and that I don't suck. So I appreciate it, and I want to keep doing it. So thank you to everyone. Keep not sucking.
I'll do my best. Success right there. Anyway, we're going to see you in January, and we're so stoked to see you. And it's going to be a lot of fun. Maybe you can do a song with Seven Dust. Wink, wink.
Ask them. I'd be down. But our birthdays, guys, both of our birthdays are on the boat. So we're going to do a joint birthday party. So make sure y'all are ready to celebrate.
Which means that we're going to smoke a joint, right? For your birthday party.
We're just going to raid, man. We're going to raid. That's it.
Chaz is going to be spinning in the disco at 2 o'clock in the morning. What the fuck am I doing here?
We're doing the joint birthday, man. Yo, seriously, it's gonna be fun. I can't wait to see you on the boat.
Yeah.
Anyway, hey guys, everyone, thank you for joining us. Make sure and check in Monday at 9 a.m. Eastern time. We'll have the full episode on YouTube at the Ask More channel, and also all of our streaming platforms. So make sure and check it out. First half an hour is great. Listen to all our Billy Sheehan stories if you guys are bass players. And that's about it. So thank you again, madam. And
thank you.
Have a great rest of the year. It's almost over. Can you believe it?
It's very weird, but I'm very excited that it is almost Shiprock time. I'm very pumped.
Heck yeah. 2 years it's been forever. It's been way too long. So we're stoked.
Yeah, seriously.
All right. From myself and Chad, we're going to say thank you, guys, and we'll see you next Wednesday.
Bye.
Take care. Have a good weekend. Be peaceful. See ya.
Is 100.7 WMMS.
It wasn't just a radio station, it was a lifestyle.
Cleveland is a rock and roll city for sure.
Right? I feel like Chicago's.
Get down!
The Wrath of the Buzzard. WMMS. Cleveland.
The rise and fall of one of the most iconic radio stations in America. Profiles. The Wrath of the Buzzard. PROH Files. Subscribe now wherever you get podcasts.